Welcome back to Honey, We Need to Chat.
Welcome.
We're very excited for this next episode.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie to you, being parents and then doing this in our evenings, it is hard to muster the
immunity.
Not the amusement. What am I saying? The energy.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm. That's what I'm trying to
say. Well, we had a coffee before. Did that not work?
Oh, it worked. Probably. I'll find out at 2 a.m.
Yeah. You're still struggling with energy?
Oh, it's not really energy. It's more just like
motivation.
My brain just gets a bit fried. So by the end of the day, I'm just like, what? And I feel like I'm in a bit of a fog. But whenever we do these episodes, eventually we warm up. So it's all good.
Yeah.
And tonight I scheduled a lighthearted one as our warm-up one. Lighthearted or not that deep. So I thought we'll do that first to get us in the mood for chatting.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, we're not going to do any icebreakers today. Not that I'm underprepared.
Not that you are.
I'm half underprepared.
Underprepared.
Yep. So I've got this stuff ready, but I was meant to print it because I've got this new idea, but I can't do that yet because I didn't print it. Mm. We'll do that next time.
Hold your breath for the new idea.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's do it.
Cool. Well, we might just dive in then.
Mm.
Honey, we need to chat.
So this is our normal Honey, We Need to Chat episodes. We're going to dive into some stories and discuss some communication tactics, how we might navigate some of these problems or dilemmas that have been posted about, and just chat about it, see how we go, see how other people are going from around the world.
Yeah.
These are all Reddit stories tonight. So
okay. Cool.
Let's see how the Reddit
people
are.
I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be different.
Blaise is going to take notes.
I'm going to take notes. Yeah. Because I always struggle to remember the long stories that Amy shares.
I have also tried to find ones that are manageable in terms of length. So hopefully all of the above makes it a bit smoother.
Let's get into it. Cool. Let's do it.
Number one, this story is titled, these are all from r/relationships, the subreddit.
Reddits.
Yeah. This one is called, Would This Bother Anybody Else? Okay, so this seems like a minor thing, but when my wife, 38 female, and I, 38 male, are out and about walking, she constantly walks ahead of me. Sometimes to the point that other people get between us and I have to verbally get her attention to please stop and let me catch up. It is embarrassing when some rude, pushy people separate us, and to make matters worse, I am in a country right now that I don't speak the language. To be honest, it's driving me crazy and she won't stop doing it. Would this bother anybody else? I have asked her several times to be more aware of me and our surroundings, and frankly, I have cut back on going on walks with her entirely because of it.
Yes.
Yes, it would bother you?
It would bother me.
Mm.
Yeah. I think, like, I don't know, obviously, no, absolutely. If it was happening regularly, it would bother me.
Yeah. I don't know why I was surprised by that, because it'd bother me as well.
I don't really know what to say to that. I think, like, I don't know, putting myself in that position... I don't know if you always walked in front of me. I think the issue here, though, is, all right, yes, it would bother me, but then, well, how do they go about it? And I think it's hard because he says that he's spoken to her about it. She keeps doing it, and now he won't go on the walk. And I think that's the negative thing here. So, yeah, so that's not the ideal outcome, is they just don't do that thing together anymore. When that thing can be actually quite good. So I don't know. What do you think on that? In terms of they've spoken about it and nothing's changing, then what?
Well, as we've said before, our rule is that if we've got a problem, it's our responsibility until we communicate it with the other person.
Mm.
So if you're doing something that's really annoying me, hurting me, like within reason, I guess across the board mostly, like even more extreme cases, like you still need to be able to communicate it as a first point. So once I communicate that with you, then it's something we tackle together / your responsibility, depending on what the thing is. So he seems to have already communicated it with her. So that's good. He now seems like he's avoiding doing this with her, like you said, and that's not great. That's just an avoidance tactic. It kind of gets rid of the painful thing. But in the long run, if this is something that's actually bothering him, and I know it seems a little lighthearted because it's like she's walking ahead of you, but it would be upsetting because it's like, something that he said he's upset by, and she doesn't seem to be paying attention to it.
But I can see the frustrating part. Like, if you're always walking in front of me and there's actually people between us, I'm going to need to call you to have a conversation and say, where are we going?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think it's more than just the fact that they're not walking together. That'd be actually really just irritating. Mm.
Especially if you're doing it, it's a thing to do together. Like, you've gone out for a walk together, but you're not really walking together.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think as well, like, you know, he said that he's spoken to her about it. And in my head, I'm like, all right, well, I think sometimes we feel like we've communicated.
Mm.
And I think there's a difference there between communicating and just speaking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I've told you before, I don't even have any scenarios in my head, but I know I have told you stuff before and you kept on doing it. And but it's like, yeah, but I'm telling you in a joking way. So from your perspective, I'm joking. And it's like a playful, stop it.
Yeah.
But it's not. I'm like, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, we sometimes either dance around how serious we are about it in a jokey way, or you can think you've communicated something but you haven't really communicated it. So, like, pretty much exactly what you just said, but in like, I and obviously we have no idea what he's communicated, but I can imagine this scenario being like, hey, just stick by me and walks or something like that. Like, it kind of annoys me when you walk ahead. Maybe she doesn't understand why it annoys him, or maybe she doesn't understand exactly what he means by that. Who knows how detailed the conversation has been. I think if this was us, not to like spend too much more time on it because it's pretty lighthearted or pretty minimal, but I think if this was us, I would just be like, I think I'd find a time where it's not right in the moment, because normally that's not going to be a constructive conversation. So I wouldn't just like yell out at you in the middle of a walk when I'm getting frustrated by it. I think I'd pull you aside later and be like, I know I've said this before, but I just want to say it again. I actually find it really hurtful when you walk ahead of me and you just leave me there, because for one thing, we're in a country that is new. No, we don't speak this language. We're doing this together, and it's really like you've just got off on your own. And I've asked you to do this before, and I feel like you haven't really taken it on board. And I think I just very clearly laid out, like, this is exactly what I'm saying. Like, this is exactly what's frustrating me. This is what it's making me feel, but doing it in a gentle way. So it's not like you're doing it again kind of thing. It's like, just to be really, really clear. Yeah. And I mean, when it comes down to it, whether she listens or not is a different matter.
Yeah.
But I don't think this needs to be a make and break, or break.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you said it's a lighthearted one.
Yeah.
But hey, I was thinking, you know, we've just sort of dove right into these Reddits and stuff like that. And the purpose of us doing this is so that you and I keep growing on our communication and stuff. And I want a level of transparency on this podcast too, you know, and you had mentioned before, just before, like as we started, about how it's hard to get into the rhythm of podcasting. And I think even in this episode, like, it's probably a little bit clunkier doing it this way, but I'd like to stop for a second and just check in, because like, I think one thing is like, again, we can, you know, we've spoken about this before. If there's a serious issue to be brought up, we can just go straight into the issue, but we don't really know the where you're at. Like, I don't really know sort of the conversation that I'm engaging with here. Like, do I need to carry the conversations? Do I need to listen in the conversation? All that sort of stuff. So I thought maybe let's just stop going into to these and just, like, you know, go the classic, how are you feeling out of 10?
I think I'm feeling maybe 7 or 8. Yeah. But I don't really know why. I think it's just the tiredness, like the end of the day tiredness, and trying to get into the space. Setting up is a nightmare every time. Not a nightmare. It's getting smoother. It's just we're in a very small office with big equipment and learning the equipment. So every time, if it was just walking in and doing the episode, then I think I'd be like a lot more like, yeah, let's do it. But I'm like problem solving the whole time. So I think I'm just a bit like kind of, I don't, like, not stressed, just kind of like, afraid.
Is there something that you want to do, like, before we carry on to help sort of like, all right, entering into this session now?
No, I think I'm good.
You good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. How are you out of 10?
I'm feeling a 9 today after, you know, good week at work. Yeah. I always look forward to these sessions, these chats.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I think, yeah, like, again, we're talking about other people's problems, but I just love discussing them with you in a non-bitchy way about them.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know, we've spoken about I don't know, like, again, the purpose is to put a podcast together, but what I'm getting out of it is just this really solid time with you. Mm. So I'm really enjoying it. Mm, and I think that's why I wanted to stop, is just to make sure that we're still really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that we're coming from a place of enjoyment, not out of obligation, because I think we won't be our authentic self in this space, and I don't think we'll be as entertaining or we won't be able to get stuff as across engaging, as engaging.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. I think that's Bonnie.
Oh, yeah. She's doing dog ASMR every time she eats. She's like, Blair will hate me for that.
I hate ASMR.
I think I might start my own ASMR channel there. Yeah.
No, not in this house.
I'll just do it silently.
Cool. So, do you need a breath? Idea. Are you good?
No, I'm good. All right. Thank you.
So, you got the next question?
Yeah, next one. So, we started semi lighthearted. Now we're diving really deep.
Okay.
Very quickly. I don't know why I put this as number two. Yeah, I'm just going to do it. All right. I, 21 female, found something in my boyfriend's, 22 male, phone that disgusts me, and I don't know if I should give him another chance. I'm going to keep this short. I found out yesterday that my boyfriend saves photos of AI-generated porn images of K-pop idols.
I legit had in my head that you just said ASMR porn videos. I'm like, gross. All of it gross. All right, cool. What is it? It's AI.
AI-generated porn images of K-pop idols. That he didn't create them. He's just saving them. So I just feel disgusted after seeing them because they're not porn stars and they shouldn't have their bodies altered like that when they weren't even showing their bodies. To me, this is non-consensual porn. He also found them by searching, meaning he searched them up knowing he wants to see porn of K-pop idols who are not porn stars. So this was an intentional thing that he searched. Personally, I don't like porn, but I don't have a problem with it. But in my opinion, this just disgusts me so much. I don't know if this is normal with other people, but I definitely do not feel comfortable with this. And I'm rethinking if I should be in this relationship, if this is who my boyfriend is. I'm really disappointed in him because he has been really good to me. And I thought everything was going well. We've been dating for over a year. I told him how this could be a deal breaker. And he told me he can change and that he'll never do things like this again. And is disgusted with himself. Part of me wants to believe he's not some disgusting creep person, but also he thought it was fine before he got caught and had those sexual desires in the first place. And then this girl's also then had people comment on it because that's what happens on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's done edits. So she's got two edits. She's stuck to the end of this after people had been commenting.
Mm-hmm.
Edit number one, there are people who are saying that this is fine and there isn't a problem because it's just porn/imagination. I can't speak for the world on whether it's wrong or right, because everyone has different moral values. However, personally for me, this is not okay in any way. And I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who does things like this, which is why I decided to do this post. And then edit two, thank you everyone for commenting. Some have been very helpful and I'm happy I'm not the only one who feels that this is a big issue. For the others, thank you for making me not want to have any relationships at all. Wow. It's not fun. I didn't actually read the comments because I just didn't want to get frustrated. Don't go there. I'm surprised so many people are okay with this and defend the creation, distribution, and use of these fake porn images of real-life innocent people. Even for someone who is not against porn, I'm just sad that this is what the world normalizes.
Hmm.
So totally different end of the spectrum in terms of intensity.
All right, just a recap because that was a big one.
Yeah.
So she's found AI porn of K-pop. Okay, so what's happened is that he's got an image of real-life people.
Yeah.
And he's put that through AI.
No, it has been put through AI to make it porn. Okay, so he didn't do it, saved it. Yeah.
But it's like real life people that have been, that's been put, like photos of real life people that have been put through AI for them to be naked or whatever.
Yep.
And
she's found this.
She's found it. She finds it very disgusting. A big reason is because it's not consensual.
Yeah. Like they haven't chosen to do that.
They haven't chosen it. He feels disgusted himself, I think you said.
He said that he was like, he can change. He'll never do things like this again. And yeah, he's disgusted with himself.
Yeah. And some people find this fine. She's still just like, no, I'm not having it.
Yeah.
Mm. Man, this is a big, 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 big topic. And I think like straight off the bat, I would say I don't think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest reason is the consensual stuff.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't even know you could do that.
I know.
But
concerning.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a big thing. Like, I don't know. I just imagine if that happened to you, right? I just know how you would feel if someone took a photo of you and did that. I think for me, wouldn't be as impactful, but I can just imagine if that happened to you, how that would make you feel.
Extremely violated.
Exactly. And I think that's where, for me, like, yeah, it's just underlining that. You know, this is also coming from a perspective of someone that finds pornography very damaging, not just for relationships, but also for the individual. Through the research that I've done and when things that have been explained to me, what it does to your brain physically is quite damaging in terms of your neural pathways and stuff, and then how that can affect you, how it does affect your relationship with someone, because your brain is thinking, this is how I get stimulated in that way.
Yeah.
And it does impact intimacy with your partner because your brain's, it's so divided on how it gets that dopamine hit and those hits itself. So now that's a whole topic in itself. Again, I'm just explaining this is my perspective. This is coming from a perspective of someone that's very against pornography because the damage they can do. I don't know. I think, you know, look, this is going to be very vulnerable.
Mm.
And this is coming from someone that has really struggled with pornography in the past. And you obviously know that.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of just trying to think of her situation. She's asking the question if she should stay with her partner. And look, that's a hard one to answer for someone too, right? I'm just so thankful that you stayed with me, you know, and I think that's the only perspective that I can come from. I can't comment from her perspective. I can only comment from ours.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, a big part of this was, you know, for our relationship, it was huge. It was a very difficult thing in our marriage, in our relationship. You obviously really struggled with it. I just felt so embarrassed and disgusted by it. I did. And I think the biggest thing was realizing, again, the damage that it has on someone, but how hard it can be for guys to not go there.
Yeah.
And this is never, ever, ever, ever making an excuse for it to happen, but just the impacts, again, that it can have, the wrestle that it is, I don't think is for a lot of people, it's not as simple as saying, don't do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how far to go down this rabbit hole.
Yeah. I think I'll just maybe share really quickly. I think when I read this, for one thing, I like that she's pretty confident in, no, I'm not happy with this. It's not something I'm just going to accept, because there is a lot in the world that's like, if it makes you feel good, then it's good.
Mm.
And I just think when you play that whatever motto out in any capacity, in any way, if you play that out to the extreme, it's just not the best way to live. Mm. It's going to cause damage. It's going to cause hurt. If you are the center of the universe, and if it's all based on how it makes you feel, you're going to hurt people in the process. And I personally do not think that is healthy. And so a lot of people would just be like, oh, you know, it is what it is, whatever. She's not comfortable with it. She's raising it. And I think that's awesome, because she knows what she's comfortable with, and she's happy to have that conversation, and she's happy to take serious, like, thought into it. And then the flip side of that is sort of what you were talking about, whether you stay with a person in that or not. And it seems like, at least from the conversation that she shared, that he was like, oh yeah, no, that I really shouldn't have done that. He feels bad about it, or he's saying he's feeling bad about it. He's saying he's not going to do it anymore. So to me, that kind of indicates that they're at least maybe working from the same place in terms of how appropriate it is, whether or not that's going to change his behavior. It seems like he's at least aware that, oh yeah, that wasn't great. And so that's huge. I feel like that's a really good starting point, being on the same page in that way. I think
it also depends on how long they've been together.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
If this is a new boyfriend, like, you could ask yourself, like, am I willing to start off the relationship
work.
This
yeah.
way? Like, maybe not.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If you don't really know them that well, like, yeah, maybe it is better just to, like, cool, I just don't need this battle.
I think the attitude is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So if he was like, nah, I'm probably just going to keep doing it, straight off the bat, you're like, okay, well, our values don't match in this way. And that's a serious thing to consider. If he was like, oh no, I'm not going to do it anymore, but then he keeps doing it and he keeps struggling with it, that's a different issue. That's one where you'd be like, yeah, okay, that's, we're not matching. And you're wanting to match, but you're just not getting there. That's more of an addiction thing going on. And whether you stay with them or not is your decision. And we're not going to give advice on whether you should or not, because each person is going to have a different journey in that way. But I do think there's amazing, like, vulnerable connection and intimate connection that can come from working through things like this together. Mm. One thing I think is that anything sexual is a bit more shocking. It's a bit more like intense feeling. It sometimes gets put on like a higher level of badness. I don't know how to word that better, but than other things.
Mm.
But when you're in relationship, you're going to navigate crappy things. Each side of you, like each person's going to have things that you're going to end up working through. Some are going to be more blatant. Some are going to be a little bit more subtle. Some will take years to come out. Some will come up quickly. And so you're never going to be with someone who doesn't have brokenness in their life. When you can work through brokenness together and come out the other end and work on it with the same kind of like goal in mind, it's amazing. But that doesn't mean you have to do that. And I'm not going to say that anybody has to do that. Like, I'm not going to tell her she has to stay with him. I'm just saying that he's like indicated that he kind of wants to change that behavior. And that looks like a promising start from my perspective.
So I sort of see this in three different categories in a way, right? So going to my trusty notes. So the first part is like, you know, your perception on pornography. You know, and so there's that whole issue to tackle. And she's saying she's fine with it. Like, she doesn't have an issue with pornography.
She said she doesn't like it, but she's not really bothered by it.
Yeah, right. So for us, that really just bothers us, right? Then there's the issue of the type of pornography that's got the consensual stuff. You know, it's not consensual. And I think that's the issue itself. I think as well, like, what this is doing is there's been so much work and so much identified on how guys view girls. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's like, I don't know, this whole AI system sounds very much like guys taking something that's not theirs.
100%.
And it's got so much worse with this because it's like, well, it's a lot sneakier. And it's a lot more through AI. It's a lot more
accessible.
Whatever they want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even just a matter. Exactly. So it's like it's down to your imagination now, rather than what you see. Right. It's not taking something physically from them. It's take. You know. Anyway, so I think that's another big issue there. And so I can see from her perspective of like, this is very, very disrespectful, and this is like. No right for this guy to be doing that towards a girl, so and all that stuff too. So I see kind of three different things this wrapped up in this, and all of them are huge topics on their own.
And things to wrestle, because you're going to face these things.
Yeah.
In different extremenesses. I cannot speak right now. But I think if we were to kind of do the honey, we need to chat. Element of this and workshop it as if it was us trying to navigate something like this. I think there's a few steps that I would take if I found something like this on your phone. I would be like, firstly, I would bring it up with you and see what's going on. Something we have worked on in the past is like the actual thing itself is not because it's so much more. Sorry.
Sometimes. Sometimes the thing itself is not the actual issue.
Yeah. So in our case, at least, we found that, especially when things fall into more of like a habit or like an addiction sort of category, it's often not just, oh, I wanted to look at this, so I'm going to look at this. It's often a huge thing that's going on mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So her saying that he said he's felt disgusted in himself is really interesting to me, because I feel like that's the sort of like thing that goes on when you're stuck in a cycle like this. You're like, oh, I just... do not feel good about this. It doesn't make you, it makes you feel gross. It's stuff that just goes around and around in your head. It's a dark, isolated place in your head. And when that place is left to kind of fester for anyone with any topic, when a dark place is left to fester in your head, it only gets worse. Like if you do not bring things out to the light, if you don't like heal things, naming things in a safe space, like even just verbalizing some stuff can just totally take away the power. And so there's a lot of mental battle that goes on. And I think that's the kind of like, it could be that he even knows that, oh, this actually felt a lot different to what I would normally do. Like this is, yeah, this has crossed the line. Like it is a bit weird to like have this power over someone who's not at all consented to doing this. I think there's like probably a whole like dark hidden part of this that goes on in his head, which is a yucky thing, but it is a normal thing. And not to excuse that behavior, but to normalize the fact that if any of us have something that sits there and festers in our heads, and we don't take actions to make it like healthier or to call it for what it is and to bring light into that area, if any of us fall into these patterns, it's easy to like go down roads like this. So he's not a freak. Like, I don't read this and think this guy's like a freak. Like, this guy's a really gross dude. He could be. I don't know him from a bar or so, but this story doesn't make me think that. This story makes me think this is a guy that's discovered this new AI thing and is like, oh, there's some people that I think are pretty attractive. I wonder if I could do this, or I wonder if someone's done like this to them, and he's like found what he's found, and it's all this little dark kind of niggling thing going on for him.
Yeah. And again, like, I just really need to state what we're saying here is that we are never, ever excusing the action.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we're trying to do is understand the feeling, the motivation, but never excusing the action. Again, you know, through my work, you know, we talk with dads, we help dads understand that, you know, for example, anger is a normal feeling, right? But we never, ever excuse the behavior that can follow that. And so that's the same situation here. All right. So for my case with pornography, and we're not going to go down this rabbit hole for this episode, but for me, it was an escapism thing. It was when I was overwhelmed. It was when I was panicked. It was where all this sorts of thing, and it was chasing that dopamine hit. And so again, never, ever, ever, ever excusing the behavior. But what we're trying to do is understand the motive behind it. If he's just a perv, that's not okay. None of that is okay. You know what I mean? No situation there is okay. His response on paper, we have to ask the question, all right, what is behind? What is the motivation? Like, is it a rabbit hole that he's gone down? Is it something that he needs extra help with? I had to get a lot of help. You know what I mean? I had to get so much help. And when I got it, you know, I did get that help, and you were a big part of that help. But again, it's with this situation, how long have they been dating for? Is it worth sticking with that? You know, is this something, you know, we know people though that as well, this has been an issue in their marriage, and no is no, you know what I mean? And that's their decision to make. Like, you know, I'm so thankful that we did things differently. I'm, you know, so, so thankful, but it's down to those people. Cause I think different things impact people in a different, certain things impact certain people in a bigger way, you know, depending on what their history's been and so forth too. So there's a whole lot of mixed things in there. But it's hard when you start talking about that. I'm like, all right, how deep are you wanting me to go here?
I think we'll dive more into that.
Like, I'm a quite a transparent person. My struggles are my struggles. Look, I can't take them back. And I think the strongest, like the most benefit I've found in those struggles is addressing them and being transparent with them in a healthy way.
Yeah.
So I've got no issue with doing that, but I wasn't sure how much of this rabbit hole you want me to go down tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I picked this story knowing it was one that was like semi-relevant to us and we'd have some stuff to say about it. Again, like, everyone's going to feel differently about porn, and that's okay. We're not going to see eye to eye on that. And so,
we want to see eye to eye on a lot of things, so that's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, we're just two people. We don't even see eye to eye on everything. So, it'd be impossible for everybody to see eye to eye on this. But I think if we just to quickly wrap up, I guess, this story, if this was me, I'd discover this on your phone. I think I would be like she's done, I'd have that chat with you, and I'd be like, I found this thing. It's really disturbed me for this reason. I'm feeling really like upset by it. I'm a bit lost. And then, you know, obviously wait and see what you are going to say in return. And then kind of like what you've suggested, you have to weigh up where you're at, how this makes you, like how this works into like, I guess, your long-term values as a couple, what you want to do in that space. If they chose to keep working on it together, I think there'd be more and more conversations to have from here. And so the next conversation I would have is, what went into doing that? What made you want to do that? Like, we'd explore a bit about why that had happened, why you'd done that. Why you thought it was okay, even how you'd gotten there, so we could put things in place to help you not do that if that's genuinely what you wanted to do.
And this is all assuming that reconciliation is on the cards.
Is on the cards, yeah, exactly.
So for us, it was. And I think a big thing was in that situation too was you reflecting how it impacted you.
Mm.
So me hearing that perspective was a real drive to get my stuff in order, you know. So that in the situation, say to her too, like, all right, if you're just responding is this is disgusting, it's not going to have the impact. You know, he will feel disgusted. But again, if he's in that space like I've been, I'm already hating myself. I'm already disgusted with myself.
Gross,
I'm already feeling gross. And then the way that I try and escape that is do it more. It's backwards.
It's like a downward spiral.
Confusing exactly thing makes zero sense, but that's just what can happen. So having that perspective, like sharing how it affects you and why it affects you is really important too, I think.
Yeah, we'll move on anyway
for
interest of time. Hey guys, as you probably know, a lot of work goes into getting these episodes set up and sorted for you. So we would love if you take a little moment to subscribe, hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button on our platforms and share this episode with anyone you think might benefit because that is the heart of the Honey We Need to Chat.
Honey
We Need to Chat. That's the heart of what we're doing. We want this to get out to as many people as we can. We want to encourage as many people as we can. So please take a little moment, subscribe, like, share, all of the above. And if you can drop a review on Apple Podcasts, that will go a long way for helping us get into more ears around the world. So next story. I, 26 female, think I'm having compassion fatigue for my boyfriend, 27 male of 2 years, and I don't know what to do. I'm a very supportive and empathetic person, but I feel as if my compassion well for my boyfriend has run dry. After his graduation from grad school, it took him 7 months to find a job. During this time, I was optimistic and supportive and encouraged him regularly. During his employment, he would come home frustrated and stressed out due to disorganization and terrible management at his job. I can't attest to the whole situation as his job was in person, but to my judgment, it was a pretty toxic place. Once again, I was understanding and patient and was used as an emotional crutch for him. After a year of full anxiety and late nights, he was laid off from his job, which was a blessing in disguise. But now he is unemployed and struggling to find work. My patience has run thin and I am recognizing some resentment from within me. I really don't like this feeling, but I don't know what to do. His work ethic differs greatly from mine and I get upset by the number of applications he's sent out. I understand he has way more free time now, but I wish he would spend more time looking for work. How can I convey this to him? Is this compassion fatigue?
I think it's values. It's a values thing. So to recap, She's feeling that she might have compassion fatigue. He struggled to find work after university. I think that's what was said. He's not as organized, which caused a lot of stress and anxiety from his work. She felt like she was carrying, like emotionally carrying him, and their work ethic is quite different. And I get that. I struggle with people with low work ethic, but you know, that's people that I'm not dating.
I'm glad you're not dating them.
Yeah, me too. So I don't know if it's compassion fatigue. And again, it's bringing that team together. Because there's definitely been moments where I've had low motivation. I haven't been organized. I've been anxious and everything else like that. And I think it comes down to a big thing that brought me through those is our teamwork. Now, it's not you carrying me through those. Sometimes you have carried me through those, but that's not what the solution is. I feel like it's how do we work on that together, you know? So again, there's a lot of things going on there. Kind of dating for 2 years is different than married for nearly 10, right? But again, it's like if you're not willing to put in the effort here, this is, I feel like, the start of when you should be putting in the effort. You know, like it's like, all right, if you love this person, if you want to spend the rest of your life with this person, start building the team. Build the team before you're married. Build the team before you're at that stage anyway, because it's going to make that stage so much greater and impactful. So not that it's on her, but I think, all right, well, cool. She's struggling and burnt out from his burnout, and you've been there with me with my burnout for sure. So what does she need? I think a big thing is, okay, so me, this is me processing. I've been processing out loud, so rambling. But what we've realized is that how is our cups being filled?
Yeah.
All right. So that's been a big thing, you know, especially for you. So mum of four kids for a long period of your mum life, it's been very taxed on the kids, right? So you've been very focused there. Your flexibility has been less than mine because of what you bring to the family, right? So you have to breastfeed them. I can't do that, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of things that mums go through that dads don't. So you are tied down more. Now that was really hard for you. And we got to that point of like, all right, well, cool. When you could, how is your cup being filled? And I think that's probably a big thing here. So, you know, is she getting out much? Is she getting that filling up? Because if he's just draining everything, then that's going to be hard. But if she's not taking care of herself too, and she's only focusing on him and his well-being, she's just not going to be able to give what she wants to give, and she's going to have that fatigue. I don't think it's compassion fatigue. I think it's just fatigue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I definitely think there's things that you can work on for that. So I think going to our situation, if in sort of thinking back through my burnout, one thing that you needed from me, and you did push me in this, was get counseling.
Mm.
You know, do something about it. Because if I'm not being proactive about it, well, what hope is there? How can you trust that I'm actually trying to get better if you don't see me taking practical steps? Now, the practical step has to be something serious at this point, like it was for us. I had to do something serious and intentional, which was counseling. From that, we identified that you're now fatigued, you're now burnt out because you're carrying a lot of that load through my mental burnout. Mm. So then you needed counseling. You started seeing counseling too to help you recover from what my situation, which is a sucky feeling coming from my side, and obviously it's a sucky feeling for you too, but and then from there, a lot of the work is, well, how do we not go back? What are the things that we need to put in place to help us do this? Man, I have always struggled to get a job.
Yeah.
Always. So I've never, ever got a job through application. I've only had a job through word of mouth when I've been able to prove my worth and prove what I can do. It's the only way I've got a job other than trade work. And so that's been really hard. So I get, oh, man, and I really struggle when I don't, you know, through those seasons where I've applied for work and never got anything, never got a call back, nothing. Mm. My mental health is really, really low. So I can relate to him in that way. Again, never excusing stuff, but I can relate to it because I've been there. And yeah, I think it's coming back to teamwork. Like how much are they willing to work on it? And then what needs to be done?
Yeah.
The end. I think I've solved this. Note-taking is really productive.
Yeah. Productive for you. Yeah, I think the whole compassion fatigue, I was intrigued by that because I haven't heard that phrase before, but I was like, it's sort of funny in some ways because there's certain things after becoming a parent that I've felt what I would be like, oh, maybe that's compassion fatigue. So one of them is when you're sick, sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm finding it hard to be sad that you're sick, and more like, please help me.
What about me? I'm sick.
Yeah. And then you're really sick, you know. On the couch. So things like that, or like when, you know, you're late.
Let me just say, all right, you just pricked something here. All right. When I'm sick, I'm nearly dead.
Yeah, but see,
okay, let's just clarify that. When I get sick, I nearly die.
Do you though?
Yes. You hear my noises that I make when I throw up.
Look, anyway.
Okay, this is something we need to clarify. All right, so when I get sick, I don't get sick often. I don't really get a cold. I don't really get the flu or anything. When I get sick, death is coming for me. And it's like I've got the sweats. I vomit like well out of control. I deserve sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
This is our argument now.
Not to go down too much of a rabbit warren or whatever the phrase is. It's really interesting as a mum. And I've heard almost all of my friends have said the same thing, that when their partner's sick, it's like, and I think what the hardest thing is, like frustration, like a semi-frustration as well as like not wanting them to be sick. I think the thing, this is totally different to the story, is that as mums, there's this weird thing where it's, generally speaking, really hard to ask for what you need. It's really hard for mums to be like, I need... or what you want to fill your cup, like you said. So, you know, I've heard so many times over and over, like my husband just like, he'll just be like, I'm going to go ride my bike on the weekend, or I'm going to go play golf or whatever. Or if they're sick, I need to go lie down in the room. And as a mum, I think what happens realistically,
I think you've said this to me before.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Is that it's not that I'm mad that you're lying down because you're sick. It's I'm really at the core of it. I'm mad that I don't know how to ask for that.
Yeah.
Or even when I'm sick, I think that's what comes to mind is like, I'm like, when I'm sick, I'm still not always because you do like help me, but. And if I ever ask, you'll help me. But that's the thing is like when I'm sick, I'll push through because in my head, there's this huge guilt of asking for what I need. Or like on the weekends, you know, so many guys have, generally speaking again, but like have things like they go bike riding every weekend or they play golf every weekend or whatever it is that they do that.
Mm.
And they just go. They're like, I'm going to go. And then they just go and they leave the house. They don't have to like be like, at 10 o'clock, you need to feed the baby. And also you need to get the meat out for dinner. And like this huge mental load that goes on to leave. Whereas mums tend to fall into a pattern where rightly or wrongly, and whether it's just on the mum side or it's being fed into by the dad side, I think it could be a mix for every person. Mm. The mum's like, it's not just as simple as me being like, oh, I'm going to go get my nails done on Saturday. It's like, I need to go get my nails done on Saturday. But if I leave at 10:30, then I also need to make sure that I've communicated with you or that, yeah, actually he needs to go down for a nap in the next like 10 minutes. Or also I've got this for lunch. And also if I'm not back by this time, just put them in front of the TV. Like there's all this stuff. And so it's like, either it's too hard to ask for it or there's like this guilt in your head, like, oh, you're leaving them or you're asking for something. Yeah. You're just putting that all on your husband. Like it's a really interesting mental game. So it's not a fair thing just to be, well,
no.
It's not a fair thing from my perspective because you're very hands-on and capable. But there is, and I think that's what if I like taking something lighthearted and being a bit more serious about it, the thing that's actually annoying is not that you're sick and you're going and lying down and be doing what you should be doing when you're sick, trying to get better. The thing that annoys me in my core is like, you're so good at just asking for what you need, which is really good. And the reality is I should be better at that rather than you shouldn't be doing that.
I think that's actually, because I do remember you telling me about this and it was a little bit of a mind-blowing moment because, again, like I said, I was joking. Well, I was being serious, but I was joking at the same time about I get violently sick when I get sick, right? But then I realized there was this one time, that's right, it's happened multiple times now, but the first time I got, last year, I got really sick. I got blisters all down my throat and it was really, really intense. And it's like, oh, I was in so much pain and I was like, oh, this sucks. Like I couldn't swallow, I couldn't eat, I couldn't do anything. I was throwing up a lot and I just had blisters all down my throat. I'm like, this is the worst. Like my family have never experienced this sort of pain before. And then you got sick one time and then you're still pottering around. So I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just, you know, you haven't been as sick as I have. And then like a couple of months later, you told me it was the exact same thing that I had. And that was a mind-blowing moment for me. Like one, I need to step up my game. Like, you know, I need to suck it up a bit more. But two, you need to communicate more.
I
want to be able to care for you. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to be like, you're sick, go take time off. Let me do this because that's the way that I can show love to you. And it was really fascinating at that point because it blew my mind. I'm like, no way. There is no way you were as sick as I was and you didn't act the same way that I did.
But like literally I had leftover medicine from when I had that and I gave it to you.
And I took it next time I got sick like that.
It was just so funny because in my head I'm like, remember I had that throat infection. I ended up in ED. Like I literally went to ED for it, not for the infection, but my other things. But it's like, but I don't think women are great at that. Generally speaking, I don't think they're great at it.
Do you think it's mums or women?
I'm going to say mums, but only because I am a mum and I think I'm too clouded by parent. I think the main reason I say mums is the mum guilt is real. The mum guilt that comes in immediately once you become a mum. And I don't even know where it comes from. And we could probably do a whole episode on this because I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's just an innate thing or if it's like, if there's people that, like if it's just picking it up from the media or if it's attitudes you've noticed, I don't know what it is.
Or expectations being put on you.
But like... it literally is straight away for no reason. Like if I think about when we had, there's no reason that I should have, like nothing about that. Actually, I can think of a few things because nothing went right for when we had. So I think that probably kind of started being like, oh, I did not succeed in that birth or I didn't succeed in breastfeeding improperly and that kind of thing. So it's like straight away the doubt comes in. And I'd be super curious to know if this is the case with other women. Like I do have a tendency for anxiety, so I don't know if that makes it more. But it's definitely from my experience, it's the mum guilt that makes it 10 times worse. So,
and if, like, for our mums listening to this, we actually want to hear from you, like, is this something that you've actually struggled with, the mum guilt? Because, again, this just puts it against our theory. So please get
it. And can you see where it maybe started? Like, what it is that's triggered that for you in the first place?
Yeah,
it's a huge thing. I think literally we could do a whole episode. I think we will talk more about this in an episode, because it's, and the communication thing across the partners is a big thing, because it's so easy to be like, he should know this. But how will he know that? He literally, especially if your brain's not working the same way for hormonal reasons or just like situational reasons, how will he know it? And then you can find yourself bitter and resentful. And I think coming back to the story, just to wrap it up quickly, because we've not helped this person at all. They won't ever hear this anyway, but
no one to help a person.
Yeah. In terms of, I think you're so right. I think it sounds like she's given a lot to this, her boyfriend. And I think she needs to maybe just be like, okay, this is either is residual burnout, like what I experienced after yours. And that can take a while to come up. Like, and that for me, I think it was like months afterwards that I was like, oh, I think I need to see a psychologist now. And I was kind of surprised by how much it was affecting me. I think even still now, actually, like if you get low, I think I'm triggered by stuff. So it could be residual burnout that she's experiencing from having given. It could be a mismatch of values, because she's like, you're not valuing getting this sorted. The reality is, if he's struggling so much and he's really fighting low motivation, it's probably a mental health thing going on as well, unless he's just a super lazy person. But I feel like a lot of the time, especially if you've been let off and it's been toxic and stressful, there's a mental health element that goes into it. And he's probably got some stuff, some like depression or anxiety or something that might be impacting his ability to be motivated to look into work. So having a really frank conversation about how he is, if maybe he would benefit from seeing someone, and also just her saying, I think I need more, either whatever, to fill my cup. I need support now. And I'm struggling to carry this. I think that's a really good place to start. That's where I would start if this was us.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just sped through that because we're going to run out of recording time.
Yeah.
Sorry to be.
But I was going to say, I actually just remembered you asked me before what we're going to do at the end. So what we're going to do, we're not going to do it today because we're going to run out of time, but what we're going to do, Emmy and I were trying to think of what's an outro we could do. Like, couldn't think of an outro, and we're going to get ChatGPT to write an outro.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Every week. So at the end of every episode, we're going to get ChatGPT to send us out. But until then, thank you guys so much for listening in. We love chatting. Yeah. We love this episode. We love doing it with you guys. Please be in contact. We want to hear your stories as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for the chat.
I'll chat to you later.